extravagant lifestyles by virtue of their ability to exploit viciously.
Yeah, and you know, the tax laws of this country have been turned upside down for their benefit, and wages have essentially been losing ground since the 70s. It's just amazing.
However, I don't really see a lot of the so-called, and for lack of a better term, this afternoon, so-called leftist rantsters being able to do anything other than hypocrisy were they given a power.
Well, these are broader issues that I, you know, I dare not lift my sword on, because I don't think that I would be specific enough.
I think a fun example to me, one of Pol Pot's lieutenants, he had a ruling that you couldn't have a tin roof because everybody didn't have a tin roof.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to be in a position.
Somewhere between is the reality, Robert, right. But the more that we lay this stuff out above board, the sleeping ban is a very fascinating human rights issue. I certainly stand behind having it removed. But let's also look at the issue of the free ride magnet and the impact that has on people's property rights, people's rights to exist.
Well, I'd love to see some research on that. Maybe if you can come back with some more specifics, we could even have you on as a guest, Bob, talking about this issue. Or, you know, along with Jane Walton, who I know is one of
just
your favorite candidates.
Just throw this in here now. I favor the Third Street realignment.
Well, there you go, you see.
And we're talking eminent domain here.
Uh-huh. Okay, you favor
I think it cuts both ways. I think in a moderate, open, political world, things cut both ways.
So what exactly, do you feel, I mean, do you dispute that the Third Street realignment would unhouse a great number of people?
No, I don't. But like I said, and I use the phrase eminent domain, right? I think that people come from all over the West, particularly, to visit the boardwalk, and that's not a bad thing. They're not forced.
No, but the question is, should the city, you know, enter into a partnership with Canfield that involves disadvantaging and making homeless literally hundreds of people to do so? What do we get back?
I wouldn't go along with how you preface it, but I would say that in some cases, road realignments and civic improvements are justifiable on the basis of eminent domain. Certainly the freeway system would not have occurred had not a broad swath been taken down through the community that was cleared for a road to be built.
Well, the question is, do we want this particular project?
I think we do. I think the Third Street realignment would ultimately lead to a bridge over the San Lorenzo, which I think is a good thing.
You know, it's interesting. I have another fellow who actually agrees with you, who I have a tape of. I was wondering whether to put this guy on, and I think I will, because he has a similar perspective. We did a much longer interview. His name is Steve Hartman. You may remember Steve.
Sure.
He's a conservative candidate from the 80s who now is a talk show host on KSCO. And so in the interest of equal time, I'm going to do a little segment of his interview along with, as soon as we finish talking to you.
I think that would be really cool, Robert. I appreciate your show, and thank you for letting me get on the air.
Sure, and if you want to return with more specifics later, maybe we can arrange a time and do that.
Take care.
All right,
bye now.
Hey, it's Free Speech Radio, Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. We actually have operational phone lines, can you believe it? And the phone lines are open. And the phone number to call is 427-3772 if you want to be on Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides talking about whatever in the last half hour has struck your fancy, whether it be beach flats, the sleeping ban, some of the issues I've raised about civil rights generally. I'm going to play a segment now from an interview with Steve Hartman, who, as I said, he's a local man who is now on KSCO. I think his show is Thursdays and Fridays in the early afternoon from 12 to 2, in case you want to listen in on KSCO. It's actually not KSCO, it's KOMY, which is the sister station, 1380 AM. And he's agreed, actually, to allow Phil and Jane Bear, who are advocates for stopping the beach flats development plan, to come on the air and talk. He's actually apparently close friends with them, or friends with them. Let's hear a little of what he has to say about beach flats and such.
Steve, you have a radio show. It should be noted for those who wish to talk to you on the air at KOMY. What's the call number there?
It's on the AM dial, 1340.
And when is that show?
Well, this week it's going to be Monday and Tuesday. Generally, however, it's Thursdays and Fridays.
And what time?
It's Thursdays and Fridays.
Noon until
noon. Old interview.
Sort of when old John Muth used to have the noon balloon.
That's right.
Uh-huh. So that's on. That's part of the KSCO complex, right?
Well, KSCO was able to acquire KOMY, mm-hmm. And since KSCO reaches from Palo Alto to Sacramento to south of Bakersfield, they decided to turn it into a regional station and go to national format programming during the week. KOMY being only a 1,000-watt station and pretty much just covering the Monterey Bay has become the local talk station, so there's a lot of local programming on KOMY where there isn't much local programming on KSCO anymore except for the weekend.
Let me ask you about the current election race. One of the big issues coming up among the eight candidates is going to be the Beach Flats. And you, of course, had Mike Rotkin on your show, I guess it was last week or a few weeks ago, around, and you talked to him about this issue?
Yes, I did.
First of all, I'd like to hear your views about the current Third Street realignment plan. And secondly, I'd like to hear your sense of... talk about your views. I mean, we can hear Rotkin any day of the week at the City Council. Let's hear your view.
Currently, it's my position that something has to be done for the Beach Flats area from the standpoint of crime.
Do you have any particular statistics that show a great surge in crime recently? Or?
Mike Rotkin said that 40% of the city's crime happens between the river and the boardwalk.
Is he talking about
the entire city? And I would have thought it much higher than that.
Are we talking real crime or victimless crime?
Well, I think we're talking prostitution. I think we're talking drug dealing.
Victimless crime. Okay, I'm not saying those aren't
all. I think we're talking strong-arm robbery.
That's real crime.
It certainly, whatever kind of crime it is, it has required police response, and it uses up tremendous resources from the standpoint of the police department.
Now
this has overflowed into the lower Ocean Street area, mm-hmm. Where we have, you know, it's spreading, and it's spreading, in my opinion, like a cancer. With regards to anything done in the Beach Flats area, I would not support anything that does not eventually lead to an Ocean Street bridge that goes from Beach Flats right across the river to Ocean Street. And the reason I say this is we get tons and tons of tourists into this community in the daytime, and they are wreaking havoc in our neighborhoods. Many of the drug dealers that Santa Cruz have sustain their lives by the tourists that come in from out of town who drive through the neighborhoods to get through to the beach. I want people coming into this community the quickest way possible, and I want them getting out of town the quickest way possible, and I don't want them impacting the neighborhoods. So I really don't care what they do down in the Beach Flats area as long as there is a provision for a future Ocean Street bridge so that those people that are down there are ruffled out of town the quickest means possible without impacting the neighborhoods.
Do you have any conversations with the Beach Area Working Group or critics of the current plan, who you've probably seen on television if you watch the City Council debates?
I do not get TCI cable, therefore I do not watch the...
You've not heard me lambasting the City Council?
I am sorry, Robert. I have slowed down tremendously over these past 10 years. In fact, after my dealings in 88 and 89 with the progressives, I ended up...
The infamous letter...
...being Republican and becoming a member of the Republican Central Committee. And, you know, I just got fed up with those folks, too. The left is way too far to the left for me, and the right is certainly way too far to the right for me. So I quit the Central Committee, I quit the Republican Party, and I'm just a plain old nonpartisan dude now.
I see, but you are still expanding your voice across the airwaves twice a week?
Sure, but...
Yours is a call-in show, too, if folks want to.
Mine is a call-in show, and I now... like promoting different points of view because it makes for better talk radio if people think they're getting a fair shake. That's why I've had, I've had Mike Rotkin on as not only a guest, but as a co-host. I've had Scott Kennedy on. I have issued invitations to all the other city council members that they are welcome on the program anytime that they want. I take all points of view on my radio program.
So you'd have no problem having on, let's say, city council contenders and opponents of the Beach Flats program, plan?
I would certainly have a problem with city council contenders because we are in an election cycle now for city council people. And if we gave one person free time on the air to promote their candidacy, then we would have to give free time to the other 10.
How about the issue of the Beach Flats? Would you be up for having someone who's an articulate proponent of a different view than yours, but who is not a contender for the council?
Sometimes I like to bring forth questions, but I would much rather do a program where I had both sides representing themselves so that I could just moderate the discussion.
Well, you already had Rotkin, and you didn't have any opponent on that particular show.
And Rotkin is a sitting city council member.
God help us.
Well, you know, that's the way it is. It's like if Sam Farr or Fred Keeley or someone else wanted time on the station to discuss a viewpoint, I would certainly have them on because they are already in the capacity.
So if Gary Patton wants to, not Gary Patton, if Wormhout wants to come on your show to talk about the Beach Flats, she's invited?
That's a fact.
Have you conveyed that news to her?
Well, I've conveyed it to every member of the city council. I'm sure the word has gotten to her.
Mm-hmm.
If you think it would be appropriate for me to write her a letter stating such, I would certainly do it.
Sure. I know that she recently has spoken strongly against the plan of the Planning Commission, but generally in the past she's been relatively silent, which may indicate that she feels now that there that enough community opposition has gelled that it's not political suicide to take a stand that's opposed to that of the Rotkin, Hernandez, Matthews Council.
I think one of the things that we've entirely shied away from is the fact that there is only one real political voice in Santa Cruz now. Certainly the conservatives have given up. They didn't even field a candidate to run against her in the June election.
Oh, Marty, you mean?
Yeah. So, you know, I think people are just starting to lay down and say, you know, what's the use trying to fight these people? We can't fight the student vote. We have, you know, students that come into the community every year and take it upon themselves to vote our business for us and then go merrily on their way and leave us stuck with the consequences. And it's been that way for 20 years. I don't see it changing. Local residents have just said, to hell with it. You know, I've given up. And many have moved out.
It's ironic that you take that view because those of us on the other side feel that the city council majority, which got elected with scan promises, has turned and stabbed scan and in the back in terms of it, in terms of its. I've never been a big fan of scan.
The progressives have also, they have counted on the student vote at UCSD and they've gotten it every single.
They've gotten it, and now they've become redevelopment junkies, and they're prepared to sell everything to the Seaside Company with a big grin, is the view of many of us on the other side.
And the students haven't been here long enough to see that the progressives, in truth, have not helped them as students. I mean, the cost of housing now is higher than it's ever been before, and it just keeps going up because they're not doing anything.
And will this beach plan lower the cost of housing, or will it, in fact, make it even more difficult to live here?
I'm sorry?
Well, the Beach Flats plan that you said that, presumably, you're not going to support it because Rotkin and the council are not going to push for an Ocean Street bridge. I mean, even they would not get away with
I
that.
I didn't say that. What I said was I don't care what
don't
they
care.
Do down there as long as they do not lose the option of building a future Ocean Street bridge.
So it's just an option.
The last plan they had, they wanted to hold the Seaside Company hostage for La Bahia by allowing them to develop the La Bahia project in return for affordable housing on the riverbank exactly where an Ocean Street Bridge would have had to go. And that plan was almost a done deal until the earthquake. And when we had the earthquake, we saw the Casa del Rey collapse. The Seaside Company says, we've got our future building site, to hell with these people, and shut that deal down. Now there's a plan to realign 3rd Street. I haven't looked at it seriously. I don't care about it seriously from the standpoint of what they're going to do, because the progressives are going to do exactly what they want. want to do, and I am powerless to do anything about it anyway, certainly in the frame of mind that I'm in now.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as the potential still exists and a future Ocean Street Bridge is not blocked by this project, I don't care what happens. And that's the way I feel about it. I don't go down there any more than I go downtown.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you go out of your house occasionally, Steve. We want to see you here.
Other direction.
All right.
I visit the 1007 cocktail lounge and smoking parlor on occasion. I love to drink and I love to shoot pool and I love to...
This is where assassins can find
you. East Santa Cruz. See, I think they ought to cut the city in half. We'll give the everything from the river west to the progressives and start a new city on the east side.
Well, I hope you wouldn't have Michael Hernandez leading that city as mayor. You know, I'd love to have you on the air as actually talking to a real live beach class person, but again, I suppose that isn't your forte. You're, you know, the...
Put the word out. You know, I've known Phil and Jane Bayer for, 20 years now.
And you respect their opinions, or...?
I love them both to death. Mm-hmm. I know they're in opposition to this plan.
Mm-hmm.
I would be more than happy to have them on the program to lay out their viewpoint. However, I like debate. And I would like to get someone from the other side on at the same time. If you, Robert,
think
that that is unfair, and you want them on all by themselves, we could do that as well.
Well, I think I would like to see you have them on all by themselves and then have a show where there is a debate. Because I think that with Rotkin on all by himself, even though, as you point out, he is a city council member, he is given so much opportunity to... go on and on and on and on and shut everybody else up under threat of arrest, I might add, at City Council, that it's really, I think, appropriate for other people on important, pressing issues to be able to, you know, speak their mind. So, yes, I would really appreciate that. And I'd love to see a debate. I've invited Kennedy on the air repeatedly. He's agreed, and then he's back down. He's agreed, and then he's back down. And he's done that three times, and I'm tired of it. I don't want to run after Kennedy and look for him, and I don't think...
Bob Kennedy is a public official who probably has many, many, many pressing issues to befall him. So don't speak too unkindly of him. You never know. He might just turn around and show up one day and say, I had some free time. Here I am. Let's go at it.
I think, Steve, you have a gentle view of an individual who's...
I'm going to be 50 next year, and so my views have become much gentler.
You have mellowed.
Fact that I've given up, and most instances I just don't give a damn anymore.
Well, at least you're putting out on the airwaves. We've been talking to Steve Hartman, who's now become a complete ninny and given up his fire and brimstone.
Well, pick something that I'm passionate about, and you'll hear me screaming and yelling again.
And if you want to hear Steve on the air, you can hear him on Mondays and Tuesdays generally, though apparently not this week. Because you've switched times. But
it's this week, generally, on Thursdays and Fridays.
Sorry.
And that was Steve Hartman, sort of a fiery right-winger from, well, some considered him a fiery right-winger in the 80s. Established voice on KSCO, and Steve had different sides to him. I only played a part of that interview. He has also been instrumental in helping supply free food to homeless people, admittedly, because it was an embarrassment to the Progressive City Council. That was back in the late 80s when Marty Wormhout was mayor, and they were arresting us right and left for feeding people at the town clock under the auspices of the group that called itself SWAP, Soup Without a Permit. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is the last half hour of Bathrop's Pierre's Broadsides. Our phone lines are open should you wish to call. 427-3772 is our in-studio line. And for those who want to talk to me off-air after the show, I can be reached at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I invite you to give me a call there if you have stuff you don't want to talk about on-air, off-air. We can do that. Let's take a little musical break and hear a little more from the Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe.
Down with justice, down with civil rights. We're down with justice, down with civil rights. Well, total control is what we have in our sights. Well, the cops and and the judges, they're all on our side. Don't bother pleading your case, we'll take you for a ride. Now let America rule the world, you got no place to hide. Cuba?
Forget it, we'll be there next year.
We're district attorneys, we practice legal Tai Chi. We let Bullock and Gerard and the ADL off scot-free. But if you're serving free food, we'll lock you up and throw away the key. And there's a stack of evidence that the jury will never see.
And that was Carol Denny and the Jolly Roger Comedy Troupe. We're going to turn now to a long-awaited interview with a regular guest we have on the show, and that's David Silva. David is a man who usually does 10 things at the same time, an amazingly fertile and active man running about. He's not taking care of the scan for him, holding up time cards and making sure the candidates don't go overtime. He's making sure that sleeping band questions inexplicably turned away by scan get up there anyway. Let's hear from David Silva.
August 30th. Well, we have on the line with us David Silva, Green Party activist, city council candidate back in 1996, organizer for the repeal of the sleeping ban, and ongoing organizer of a campaign called Don't Sleep Tonight Night. You want to tell us about that, David?
Yeah, the Don't Sleep Tonight Night campaign is a growing campaign to make sure that we keep this item, the repeal of the sleeping ban, on the agenda during the election and during any build-up for a new initiative drive, or if it gets put on the city council agenda on that drive. We have had, tremendous amount of success in turning the opinions of the community around. I think it's pretty apparent to most politicians now that the large majority of the population of Santa Cruz think that this is an unthinkable law. And that was witnessed by the SCAN panel of candidates. They had 7 candidates out of the 8. Rat wrote, didn't show up. And 4 out of those 7 were very, very clearly and very strongly, I would say, absolutely against the sleeping ban.
Actually, let me interrupt you, David. I, too, was at this first City Council Candidates Forum run by SCAN, Labor, and the students, and I only heard 2 of the candidates speaking against the sleeping ban. I believe the candidates were David Sugar and...
Keith Sugar.
I'm sorry, Keith. You're David Silva. You're very sugary, though. I got it.
Yeah.
Keith Sugar and... Pat Clark. The other two...
M. Fitzmaurice said that he can't understand, even begin to understand, a law against sleeping.
Right, but he never stated that he favored its repeal, nor did, as a matter of fact, even more waffling was Chris Cron, who said, he sounded like, you know, a PR man for Karen Gillette at the Homeless Community Resource Center, who also has refused to publicly come out in favor of ending the sleeping ban.
Well, she's against the sleeping ban.
She may say so to you privately, but she's never made a public statement.
Well, I've heard her say it in groups before.
I've never heard her say it in any kind of public forum, nor has she ever been quoted on that.
No, I was pretty clear that Christopher Cron was for repeal of the sleeping ban when I heard the candidates forum,
I have the tape, which will be
Clark played. Tim Fitzmaurice, those 4.
The listeners
thing that was surprising is among the other 3, even heard a little bit of waffling, certainly not Linda Steinau.
Listeners can judge for themselves, but my view, listening quite carefully, and I've been listening to these forums for years, is that Fitzmaurice, who I talked to afterward and asked him why he didn't come out for repealing the sleeping ban, he said that was a little too radical for him. He had to take into consideration the middle-class sensibilities of his electorate. That was in my conversation with Fitzmaurice. Chris Cron, on the other hand, really kind of hit himself in the head and said, "You're right, you know, I should have been more clear."
He was working with us against it.
Sorry?
He worked with us on this initiative.
Right, the reason I'm making these statements is not to urge people not to vote for these people, but really to demand that they take a clearer stand on this issue, because I think, as you said, with all the education that we've done in the last year, it should be, we have to start from repeal the sleeping ban and go on from there. You can't sort of waffle around and babble about needing more shelter space, because that's what candidates who support keeping the sleeping ban.
That's why we don't let go of this campaign.
Have been saying from time immemorial. They don't care about the sleeping ban and arrests. They babble about shelter, you know, whether it's Mike Rodkin or Jane Yokoyama.
So that's why I'm asking all your listeners to not sleep tomorrow night. That's well, you're playing this Sunday, right? Not sleep tomorrow night, the 31st, and to call in 429-3550 to City Hall and report that either you failed to stay up all night or you succeeded to stay up all night, therefore you've lost your job, or whatever report you have to make, to be sure to report in Tuesday morning to City Council, 429-3550. It's with this kind of continual pressure, we definitely can't let up the pressure. We've made a lot of headway, and I agree with you, Robert. Those statements were not as clear as we would have liked to have heard.
We hope
it was an achievement. We have made it. We should pat ourselves on the back a little bit.
I mean, I note that, for example, in the SCAN questionnaire, there's not one mention of the sleeping ban put out, even though SCAN not only endorsed repeal of the sleeping ban, but supposedly was going to help those of us doing the repeal campaign as an action item on their agenda.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important we bring these things up because I don't think that people should be allowed to posture as progressives who aren't progressives. And
right.
I happen to agree with you. I think the four candidates you're talking about, Pat Clark, Chris Crone, Tim Fitzmaurice, and...
Keith Sugar.
And Keith Sugar, are all definitely miles away better than the three others. And I don't include Roden because he's not really a serious...
And if we were to have this before the board, before the city council, if we had any two of those... Well, actually, I guess now with this... with both Celia and Scott going, with any three of those elected.
You need a clean sweep. It's going to be very hard.
We'd have to fill all three seats in order to have this passed in the city council, which means we'll probably have to go to initiative again very soon.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to keep the pressure up. We need to keep the consciousness up.
Well, now, there have been a couple of Don't Sleep Tonight nights happening before. I guess you had one in June and one in July.
Yeah.
Have you had any reports on call-ins to City Council on those nights? Any success?
I followed up, and we did have, you know, there was a success. The number of people that promised me that they would call and the number of calls that the Secretary at City Hall said were considerably lower. So those of you who promised me that you're going to call, please fulfill that promise. Or if you promise any member of the committee that's calling you and reminding you, because we do have the list divided up.
You know, well, it's amazing you were able to get...
We have four callers calling today.
Good. Well, it's amazing that, you know, you were able to get the secretary to tell you anything. I remember when we had a large call-in effort back 10 years ago, and we actually had dozens of people calling in.
But you know I'm charming.
Hang on, David. They refused, the secretary at the city council, refused to give out that information and such. Moreover, they refused to log it because it was, quote, too time-consuming. So if they've changed their policy, I think that's great.
Yeah, well, like I say, I'm charming, so I was able to get that information. And, you know, just in case they do enforce that policy again, not keeping record, the secret, folks, is call after hours, hit the pound key, and then you have the impact, at least. If we can't get the staff back, make sure that it doesn't just get on the secretary's desk. But it's probably best to call, you know, before they open and hit the pound key, therefore you automatically... Of course, you can always ask to be put through the city council and hit the pound key instead of hitting a single... council persons. You get all of them at once.
Yeah, that 429-3550 is in fact a city council message line.
Yeah.
All the rest of the time, weekends and nights. So,
yeah.
And that makes it convenient if you want to give a call right as you're about to go to bed or unsuccessfully don't sleep.
We try to stay awake.
On Monday night, the night of the 31st, which is, I guess, the night you're talking about.
Yes, yes. Just like to talk about a couple of other successes. The United Farm Workers Support Committee is a very, very strange success. You know, I spoke last week about the Darigio workers that were out on work stoppage. That was 200 families without food and supplies out because they've been negotiating for 18 years. Darigio introduced these machines, and the machines meant that they had to work 10 hours a day to make less than they had made before, and they still don't have vision care or...
What kind of workers are these, David?
They're picking of greens mostly. Rapini was the crop that was out. That's 200 workers right there. Rapini is kind of a half mustard, half artichoke or something that's very, very popular with Italian.
And where is this happening?
All throughout Monterey County. But the strange success, the odd success, is one of the Darigio brothers, David Darigio, died. And the farm workers, out of their style of politics, called off their strike in respect to the DiRiggio brothers' mourning. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, the DiRiggio brothers have promised to come back to the negotiation table and do some real negotiating for the first time. There's a strange kind of politics, I know. But
promises are one thing, realities may be another.
So anyway, now they're all back to work. They're not in emergency status that they were in before. So do not send in your dollars at this time to the farm workers. They always need your money, but this for the strike.
Send them instead to the campaign to repeal the sleeping ban.
The sleeping ban, however, is still a little bit in debt, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, is there an address that people can send their money to there, David?
I'll tell you what. There is a phone number which you can get the address of. Post office box. Post office. My mind is gone. My mind is...
Are you talking about PO Box 1735?
It is 1735, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so you can, in fact, if you have money you want to send to the campaign...
I have it right here in front of me in paper.
...to repeal the sleeping ban, it's PO Box 1735...
Santa Cruz 95060.
95060, and that's the campaign to repeal the sleeping ban.
We need not only a few more bucks to pay off some of our debt, but we need to raise probably very soon start. Next time I call you next week, we'll be... probably really start pitching for the $4,000 we need to really make this, to get this thing on the ballot. Just for us to have started initiative drive without having the money up front was probably a bit ambitious, and this time we're not going to do it. We'll have the money up front.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably need for you folks to send in, you know, your $20 and $30 bill, you know, donations, which is asking a lot, but as many people as possible. We will be doing a mailing soon to people that mm-hmm. contributed before.
So you actually got what? You actually counted some over 3,000 valid signatures?
Yes.
And of course you needed 3,900, and I was estimating you needed at least 6,500 total signatures.
It all depends.
Let me finish. In order to...
using the Pelt and Prop model.
In order to get a sufficient number of, given the very high disqualification rates that could be happening around this issue, either for... I don't necessarily assume for political purposes, but generally. However, you know, there were two incidents that...
We had validation rates were much, much lower than that when we actually checked our validation. It was the last 2 weeks that our validation rate was really bad.
Well, I know that it's been pointed out that we were doing this during a rainy season that was many times as rainy as usual, El Nino. And also, I think one estimate is five times as rainy. I'm not sure if that's accurate, but... It has been so claimed, and then there's also the fact that you had nearly 1,000 signatures that was somehow mysteriously disappeared on.
We lost them on Earth Day. They were stolen. There's no doubt in my mind they were stolen. They were stolen within the last half hour of Earth Day. Yeah.
Well, so we have had some difficulties to overcome with this initiative, which again was to repeal.
That's why we need to have the money up front so we have more security.
This initiative was to repeal not the camping ban, which of course was the constant misquoting that the Sentinel and the conservative candidates that are running for
Senate. Isn't that amazing how they
say,
just sit
but
there?
The sleeping ban, which is the law that makes it illegal to sleep at night after 11 o'clock or to cover up with blankets. That is to say, it still makes it, still remains illegal to put up a tent or to, you know, engage in cooking equipment, which any ordinary person can do in their... Actually, it's illegal if you have a barbecue in your front yard. So if you see somebody with a barbecue, you better go write a citizen's ticket. That's our advice.
If they're doing it after... No, at any hour, that's
time,
right.
You can't set up camping equipment at any time in anywhere except a fenced in side yard or a backyard.
And that has to be very high fence, I think like 10 feet or something.
All right.
So there is no relief for people that don't have their houses that need to sleep without fear of them being ticketed or jail or harassed. You know, that's what really happens. It's not the tickets and the jail that happens as much as though for those people that it does happen, we have to be very concerned because
and the tickets continue.
It's
I was
issue of homelessness, but it's also the harassment and the fear mongering.
I mean, I was in court.
Has to be stopped.
I was in court recently, and you know, almost. I mean, it's invariable. There's at least one or two tickets on the roster, and sometimes people in custody, and not just you know like a camping ticket found with you know a murder, rape, or robbery, but rather just of itself a camping ticket with a warrant and a person has been hauled in on it.
Well, I'm glad you're saying that, Robert, because that does seem to be one of the arguments that the opposition has. You know, oh well, this law doesn't really come into effect anyway. Well, then take it out. You know, you know, if you guys don't really use this law, then take it out. You know, because it's inhumane. It violates the human rights of all of us. It's a very, very, very sad state that the city of Santa Cruz has to have this law. And I think we should lead the way for the rest of the city.
For those who want to work on this, do give a call to HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-4833. I wanted to throw in a plug for this, David.
Well, we do have a sleeping ban message number two, but I called it the other day and it seemed that it's
not receiving a lot of traffic.
Not receiving a lot of traffic, and it's also we're sharing it with Lindell Masters. What's the name of her organization?
Housing Now in Santa Cruz.
The Housing Now in Santa Cruz.
What's upcoming on the city council forum scene, David? You know, we know that the first forum was last week. Is there another one coming up?
Forum?
A forum for city council candidates.
Oh, candidates. Yeah, we do have a Green Party candidates interviewing process. We don't do, what would you call it, adversarial type situations where they're all in the room. If we don't let them in the room at the same time, we let them in the room only one.
And also, this isn't public, right?
It's public. It's public, and we ask Greens to come and Greens vote.
It's only public for Greens.
Well, yeah. If you're not a Green, then you won't be getting you won't be voting.
And you can come even if you're not Green.
Yes, it's open to the public, but it is not open to the candidates. Do not hear each other's answers.
Now, what time is this going to be happening, and where?
It's 7 p.m. Cabrillo College, room 410. Should be pretty interesting.
What day?
And that's Thursday the 3rd.
Thursday, September 3rd. That's actually next week.
Yeah, this coming Thursday.
And that's room 410, Cabrillo College at 7, right? Okay. So anybody who wants to follow the continuing blather of the conservatives, and we hope the end of the waffling of the liberals or the progressives, can check this thing out, room 410, Cabrillo College.
Or if,
7 p.m. on September 3rd.
You'd like to call them to task on waffling, this is a good place to do it.
Definitely. You mean this forum?
Yes.
You can also, of course, call them to task on Bathrop Spears Broadsides, which you're listening to here on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3. We have a call-in line, and we will put you on the air if you have comments on what happened to that forum. Our number is 427-3772, 427-FRSC. We're listening to David Silva, who is not merely a close observer of these events, but you were right up there in the front row keeping time and calling the city council candidates to task if they went overtime. Did you have any sense of what the big issues are going to be in this upcoming race as far as is civil rights for the poor, or let's say the sleeping ban, an issue that is not going to be on the agenda, as Jane Walton told me, for example?
I think it's going to be on the agenda, at least at the top three or top five of every forum, because it's been made that much alive. I think where the homeless rights for the poor will always be mentioned in this election is in the Beach Area Working Group resettlement plan. So I think that's the foot we have in the door for the rights of the homeless. If they talk about that, then we know where they stand.
What do you think of the idea? It's been proposed by anonymous people of homeless march to the beach flats and squat in some of the abandoned housing there.
Homeless squat in the beach flats.
Right. In other words, there are some housing units that are not being used. Shouldn't they be occupied by people who need them?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely, they should be. This is not an uncommon process. As a matter of fact, this is what's going on all over the country in a lot of different cities. I think that the month of August, it was a little too early to talk about that. I think come the end of September, if we're not getting straight answers from the city council, or not getting a sense that these city council candidates are going to actually provide housing, are going to protect housing for those who are low income, then I think these kind of activities do need to increase. Yes.
You know, for me, the thing about city council candidates has always been, I'm very cynical about their politicking. You know, I've heard all kinds of wonderful things in political proposals, and either they're said by people who are so, who have so little chance of winning,
you know what you mean, Robert.
Fringe candidates, my heart is with them, but my head tells me, they're not going nowhere.
Yeah.
Or we got people who like Mo Rice or Don Lane, who ran in 1988, or Jane Yokoyama, who initially sound good, but they end up completely collapsing on city council. So my litmus test for council candidates is whether they're going to continue engaging in the same kinds of civil rights activity after the election, as they're talking about doing beforehand.
Well, I think I have a better litmus test is when you have actual disciplined, well planned, and well thought out civil disobedience. If you're not treated like you're doing civil disobedience, but if you're treated by the police or whoever, by thuggish behavior, behavior that goes against the democratic principles of this country, then the true colors of the city council candidates, I think, then show out. We in the Don't Sleep Tonight campaign, We will be having at the end of October a walking tonight. And that will be a good test to see how well behaved our city is, how much our city believes in democracy, because nobody will be breaking the law. Those who put blankets over themselves after 11 o'clock tonight will be committing civil disobedience. We expect just, fair, and civil arrests to take place.
There'll be no arrests.
The arrests that take place are violent in any way. Then we expect to keep those candidates as statements.
The police department has had a history of ignoring such demonstrations pointedly. And
well, this is going to be a large demonstration,
doesn't
Robert.
Doesn't matter. We've had the largest demonstrations, and police have ignored them. What they do is they ignore them for that one night. Then when everybody goes home, they go after homeless people the next night. Unfortunately, that is what we found in 1994 when we were trying the sitting van demonstrations. We would have these huge sitting demonstrations, and the police would ignore us completely. You know, and it was only a bit later they would come and pick off people who were sitting down, and everyone else had gone home. So it's really, I mean, what you raise is really an interesting question as to how to get, you know, into a situation where police are responding. And my only way of seeing through that is to do what's either called stealth demonstrations, whereby you have someone sitting down as a sort of a decoy. Police come after and think there's no demonstration, and suddenly you appear with a demonstration, which is, of course, very hard to organize.
Very hard to organize.
Or you do something like daytime sleepouts downtown in front of the stores that cannot be ignored.
Well, we had a communications committee. I've been debating with Arun Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi's grandson. They say his spiritual leader now of that movement. And he's definitely saying that we should be, you know, sleeping in public, demonstrating mass amount, and that we should be arrested. We need to be arrested before we can change this.
Well, I hope he's enlisted his good friend, co-founder of the Resource Center, Scott Kennedy, and perhaps Kennedy's protege, Eric Larson, as a part of this program.
I don't think we can make that a leap, Robert.
See.
Anyway, I didn't want to hang up without reminding people, and I wished I had the time, but tomorrow, Miguel Gutierrez is up for attempted murder. And basically, I see what that as a victim of a hate crime, and the perpetrators of the hate crime are being let off, and Art Denner and so forth are trying to show that a Latino boy in the beach flats has committed attempted murder. What happened is that some 5 to 7 white boys were on top of him in his own, when he was in his own neighborhood. They came to Beach Flats to do something. They were doing him harm. They were beating him up. And he picked up a part of a brick and hit one of them. And now he's charged with attempted murder. It turned them around and they stopped beating him to death.
It sounds like self-defense.
Well, I say it's a valid self-defense, but our Danner, however, does not. So we do, the whole Catholic community, the Peace and Justice Commission of the 5 parishes of Northern Santa Cruz County are asking people to show up in court tomorrow. I wish I had the exact time.
What court? You don't know what court that is?
I don't know the court yet.
If it's an arraignment, it's probably at 8:30.
You have to be there at 8:30 if you want to.
I encourage you to show up at 701 Ocean Street at 8:30. And
this is a fine boy. I mean, his parents work with the church and Holy Cross Church. I mean, he's known to Holy Cross Church. He's an excellent student at Cabrillo College. I mean, he's no gang member or nothing. He has no violent record, no priors or nothing. He's just a victim of a hate crime.
Well, I know also
charged with attempted murder.
Also tomorrow at 10 o'clock, if you come to the Mr. Gutierrez's arraignment, you also might want to go wait a couple hours or grab yourself a cup of excellent coffee. I think they have the best coffee in the county at the not in downstairs, but if you're in the county building in the little kind of overhang where they have a little coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Great coffee. I got to put a plug.
That was David Silva, and this has been Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. We'll be back on Thursday at 6, but you better stay tuned for the last of Becca. She, Reckless, is out of town, and she's got a few words to say before she goes. We're going to go out on Ripped Van Winkle, San Francisco Mime. We got only 2 minutes. It's a two-minute tape, man. Okay, we're going to get Becca. We'll give it to you, Becca. This is your last show. So we're going to forego our usual.
This one goes out to Robert Norris.
Oh, way cool, man. And this is a woman who has held together Free Radio Santa Cruz for the last year and a half or two. So let's see if the station survives without her and see if she survives in Texas. Tune in at 6 o'clock for the next edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, and thank you for listening.